Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, podcast audience. This is Ken Hodge, branch president of Columbus, Ohio, with a postal podcast, live podcast for you this morning. Now, I meant to go live yesterday morning, and we had a few callers online with us. Then I found out that there was a problem with the audio for Blog Talk Radio. So this morning is just a do-over of what I attempted to do on yesterday. So, live postal podcast going down right now on Blog Talk Radio. Since I have my work schedule adjusted now, pretty much if they're not letting me work 7 days, I'm going to keep Tuesday as a day I do not work, and I'm going to use Tuesday as a live podcast day. So on yesterday, I did a full 30-minute show, only to find out that I had no audio. So here we go. When it's true, it's not hard to duplicate. So let's get started with this morning's podcast. First thing I want to say is I have launched a Facebook page, 180 Degrees New Direction. Now, let me tell you something that's different about my page. First of all, it's not a mail handler page. It's not a clerk page. It's not a carrier page. It is a page designed to address work issues. If you work in Columbus, Ohio, it does not matter what your craft is. So again, I'm always trying to be innovative. So I don't want to have a mail handler page. I think with 35 plus years experience on both sides of the table, I am more than qualified to speak to all crafts and try to bring about awareness and resolves to any craft issue if you work for the United States Postal Service. Now, let's get into some of these craft issues. One craft issue that we want to talk about this morning is the maintenance craft. Well, again, I represent employees in maintenance through the EEO process. And I want to tell you, shame on you, Columbus, Ohio management, for allowing some employees not to carry this vacuum strapped to their back and other employees you send home. What I'd like to do is make a plea out to all maintenance employees. I'm sorry. Good morning, caller, and how are you today?
I'm well.
Okay, thank you for joining our podcast. Yesterday morning, I had a few people call in, and we had no audio, so we're just redoing it over again. But I thank you for calling in. Now, back to the maintenance. Now, back to the maintenance issue. And by the way, I'm going to go over a litany of issues. If you have an issue and you work in Columbus, Ohio, or if you know what, if you have an issue anywhere in the Postal Service, I will have an opportunity to address your issue also. Okay, back to our maintenance people. Again, Columbus, Ohio management is allowing some employees not to carry the vacuum pack, and some employees are told they must carry the vacuum pack. If you're in that group of employees unfairly titled by the maintenance manager, then if you don't carry the vac, if you request light duty, then they are sending some employees home. Now, maintenance, I will be in probably in federal court representing maintenance personnel for disparity in treatment. What I'd like to say to maintenance is, if you are aware of disparity in treatment in your section, and right now I am only talking to Columbus, Ohio, if you are aware of disparity in treatment, then I ask you to help your fellow maintenance personnel out by providing them with statements that you observe the disparity in treatment, because we're going to bring postal agency to task on this because it's just unfair that some people are not allowed to work and they make provisions for other people. Not going to happen on my watch. Let's move right down the alley to the clerk craft. Again, 180 degrees. It's not just for mail handler. I'm going to tell you now, and I will continue to tell you, because of my extensive postal background, I am well-versed and very qualified and comfortable addressing issues in any craft in the Postal Service. Let's go over to our clerks for a second. Well, I thought our clerks would be sitting pretty right now, seeing how the suit that calls himself the plant manager is proud of the fact that he used to be an APWU president, which would make me think that at least you're well-versed in the APWU contract. At least you understand that there's supposed to be two personnel on the delivery barcode sorter, minus startup and shutdown. And let me tell Columbus, Ohio something. You have a letter on file in the office that states, doesn't matter about startup or shutdown, you will have two people on each machine regardless. And that letter came from a position your lead MDO, Chanel Reedus, was a part of that, and it has never been overturned. So every day you go to work and the agency plays this game with you, telling you, we will pay you additional money if you fill this form out for processing mail on a barcode sorter by yourself. Let me tell you, folks, it is a trap, because even if they pay you the additional money, and from talking to clerks in Columbus, Ohio, they're not even doing that. So even if they pay you, that's still just 8 work hours being shown to run that program. And if they pay you the additional money long enough, well, 8 hours to run that program is going to be the base, because they say they're going to pay you additional money, they're not paper jamming additional hours into the F1 scheduler for you. So again, you may think it's all fine and dandy because you rather work by yourself, but when you choose to do that, you help them damage the complement of mail processors. Yes, I say it again. First of all, they're not even paying you the extra money that they said they would. Second of all, there is documentation. And again, ask any of your stewards for the letter stating you will have two people on a machine at all time. Your stewards gave it to me during an EEO case, so I know they have it. If you have it, then enforce it. Again, if the post office says they're going to give you two people and they only give you one, you got a right to question that. Okay, let your voice be heard. And again, I thought since the suit that calls himself the acting plant manager takes pride in the fact he was an APWU president, I thought he would have corrected this. But I guess he did a 180 degrees in the other direction. And moved away from his understanding as an APWU president. Okay, let's bring this home to the craft to which I belong and the craft that I am going to represent until I can represent no more, and that's our mail handlers. Now, our mail handlers, I'm only going to talk about one issue. And this issue affects everyone on the overtime desire list. And that issue is Columbus, Ohio postal management reluctance just willful disobedience when it comes to contractual compliance with respect to Article 8. Now, I've said this many times before, and I received some shocking news on last week. Here's the scenario. Columbus, Ohio, first thing they do is they play a game with the rotation. Yes, they play a game, they being the agency, management, skipping and choosing and picking who it is they want to pick off the overtime desire list to come in and work overtime. Right away, when you see management picking and choosing, the subliminal or the latent function of that message is they don't care about your contract. They don't care about you. Again, there are certain people that they want to bring in because of the work, the harmonious work they seem to do together. But I want to tell you something, folks. If another mail handler moves 1,000 pallets in an hour, and you're doing your best, and you move 2 pallets in an hour, that does not give the Postal Service the right or the autonomy to skip you on an overtime list. Yes, I said it, and I'm going to say it again. If you are a career employee and you sign up on the overtime list, that is a strict rotation. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. And when you see that rotation being manipulated, that's a good way for you to gauge and understand that the post office are into playing games and playing tricks, because if they follow the rules, they could probably save work hours. Now, that sounds strange. Let me explain to you what I mean. MHAs. MHAs are not career employees. So when we talk about MHAs versus a regular employee, understand this. The contract will always lean more for regular employees because we are the career. We are that group of people that this contract is designed for. And when you see management manipulating the contract in order to give MHA, non-career, the upper hand over a career, then red lights should be flashing. But I got to tell you, the lights have been flashing in Columbus, Ohio for some time, and it is just not being addressed adamantly by your local union. Now, this is not a podcast to smash anybody, but all I'm going to say to the people in Columbus, Ohio, you know what you have for a local union. And you know it doesn't even halfway meet the test of what representing employees should be. They have their own infighting going on right now. So I'm going to let them fight that out. But I'm going to jump back to Article 8 for a minute. Every day an MHA goes over 8 hours, there should be a grievance filed by your union. Every day, every week that an MHA works over 40 hours and your management personnel does not exercise the overtime desire list first, that is a grievance. I have been screaming this information out. And what makes me so vexed, for lack of a better word, about it now is after months, in fact, I've been delivering this same message to the ears that were listening in Columbus, because I can't give guidance to the stewards. I'm on that old bull crap with the local president. But I have been screaming for the last couple of months that I've been screaming ever since our local president agreed to allow 40, 50, or however many he did, casuals over compliment. I started podcasting, telling the unions to be aware of overtime violations. Well, you don't have that kind of union in Columbus, Ohio. Okay, you've got the kind of union in Columbus, Ohio, I think, that are way more concerned with keeping management happy than representing you. That's just one man's opinion, and that one man is the actual president of that union. And again, this isn't union busting, folks. This is an attempt to make you aware that your union lacks the fight that you need, and maybe you can spark them up and get them going. Let me. Hey, good afternoon. Good morning, caller. How you doing this morning?
Hey, what up, Ken? How's it going, man?
Hey, what's going on? Give me 1 second, and then I'm definitely going to hear your issues. Okay, so now we have mail handler, we have MHAs going over 8 hours a day. We have MHAs going over 40 hours a week, and our union seems to do nothing about it. So I'm going to help you help yourself. Right now, I'm speaking directly to overtime desire list people everywhere, but specifically in Columbus, Ohio. Every day you go to work that you were not utilized on the overtime desire list, I am asking you to file a grievance and keep track of the grievance because those grievances are probably going to turn into EEOs, which will allow me to fight for you. But right now, your local president has got it set up that I'm not allowed to fight for you. I think we won too much when I fight for you. So he wants you to lose so that I guess he wants to improve his position with you. Don't even understand that thought. But anyway, if you are on the overtime desire list and you're not being utilized every day, then every day you have to file a grievance. You do not have the type of branch union without me there that fights for you without you fighting. In other words, I've advised them on many times that every 2 weeks, excuse me, I didn't advise them. I advised through my podcast that what they should do is every 2 weeks, pull that overtime list. Any day the MHA goes over 8 or when they go over 40, which is usually by Wednesday, which kind of means if you work with a non-sket day of Thursday, Friday, and pretty much Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then you should be working 7 days a week. Now, I could go into that more, but let me branch out a little bit and let my caller get in here. Hey, Al, how you doing this morning, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right, man.
All right. I mean, again, and to my podcast audience, this is the gentleman that's on the podcast this morning that the local 304 allowed to be fired. I'm sorry, allowed his grievance to go to step 3, have this young man out of work for months until we got together and through the EEO process, worked it out. He came back to work. Now, the reason I mentioned this young man is this is the same young man that because I assisted him in getting his job back, your union filed charges on me. Yes, let that marinate for a minute. That's just how silly they are when it comes to Kenny Hodge. But because I helped the member come back to work, my branch, the 201 Chief Steward, if that's a stretch calling him that, filed charges on me for doing what he couldn't do. Hey, good morning, Al. How's everything going today?
It's actually doing pretty good, especially after last night. I ended up, I told you before about I ended up doing a EEO against Jeff Tarver. Also, I ended up going to the Cincinnati Board of Labor Relations. I went and talked to them, sent my form over to them, and I also called Congress last night. They'll start their investigation today from what I've heard. It got Jeff Tarver quiet last night, you know, and that's just the start of it. I'm not stopping there. The reason why I had to do this is because this is a guy who, pretty much, let me go like this. The post office doesn't do anything about workplace violence and hostility towards the employees.
That's
allow it to happen, and they allow it to provoke and escalate until something happens. Like, for example, over at Dublin, you know, there was a shootout there and everything like that. You know, and there are a lot of employees there that are intimidated and scared of Jeff Tarver, whether they admit it or not. He's the type of person that uses ruthless tactics such as fear, violence, intimidation, and manipulation to get what he wants. He's jeopardized the lives of many people who have worked in the post office or are still working in the post office. I mean, tonight, he even got my union steward to almost overreact. And the problem is he has no respect for people. He uses them as tools. He doesn't treat them as people. He uses them as tools. He's a man that does not want peace with you, no matter what. I've had a thing with him in the past about a year ago. He ended up threatening me because I questioned him. He wasn't even a supervisor. And then I took it to the union steward, and I filed against Congress. I mean, I took it to Congress. And, you know, he was out for about 2 weeks, but then management put him up as a supervisor. So, you know.
Well, let me say this to you, Brother Al, real quick. I applaud you for going to the labor board and for going to Congress because you probably have two of the more worthless stewards on tour, one from my perspective. So I'm relatively certain that they're not going to be able to bring about any resolve for you based on their past record of working. So I applaud you for seeking additional help. But again, we're going to get this fight going, and we're going to bring the fight to the post office, administrative fight. And again, we're going to, I'll be with you, and we'll have enough outside agencies that because we have an inadequate branch right now, that's not going to stop our fight. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I just want people to, you know, listen and hear what I'm saying. Don't let people like Tarver intimidate you or keep you from doing what's right. You need to stand up. If you see him do something that's illegal or you've caught him doing something incriminating, you need to report it. You need to do whatever it is you need to do. EEO, take it to the labor board, take it to Congress, take it above that. Do whatever you have to do. You know, because sitting around griping, complaining, talking about, you know, how you don't like this guy and whatever, that's not going to do anything. It's not going to do anything. And you know, maybe you're saying, well, what you're doing is doing a whole lot. Well, it's doing more than what you're doing right now. You have to at least try. You have to put some effort. And that's just like anything else. Oh, go ahead.
No, and again, I wish I had my hand clap machine close to me right now, because again, this is how you bring attention to issues. Because sometimes, let me tell you, sometimes we really think upper management. And when I say upper management, I'm talking all levels above your acting plant manager, because you got to understand something about the fight we have in Columbus. Your acting plant manager and your local president are probably first cousins. I say that as a joke, but I only say that to say the plant manager manipulates the local president, and because he manipulates the local president in such a manner, it definitely has an effect on how the union fights. So, again, do not, you know, just for the sake of this podcast, take all your issues right to the local branch. Take all your issues to the branch. But while you take them to the branch, you go ahead and put a backup plan together, such as if it fits under EEO, if it's a labor charge. Like I'm being told that one of the charges is failure to provide representation when requested. Now, that's a clear-cut wine garden violation that the post office has been reprimanded on at least four times, to my knowledge. So now when we come and bring this new wine garden violation, I'm going to ask for just a little more than you hang a notice up on the board, because it is apparent that the post office don't care about your rights, and we have to make them care. And the way to make them care is through labor charges and charges of this matter, since it is apparent that local 304 is very ineffective in Columbus, Ohio.
I agree 100% with that.
It's disrespectful, but it's really no disrespect because you don't have the stewards, you don't have the leadership. Your local president made sure you don't have that in order so that we can represent members. Your will has been perverted. When I say perverted, you elected someone who the local president feared and put him out of office with no opportunity to return back to office. And now you have the plant manager, acting plant manager, and the local president, Batman and Robin, together again. And I want to remind you of the beautiful piece of work they did to the mail handlers in Youngstown. Yeah, I'm not making this up. Talk to people. So I want you to know, if you're in Columbus, Ohio, right now, your union as a whole is very ineffective, and it's ineffective based on the relationship between the acting plant manager and your local president. Go ahead, Alvin. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to add that, you know, with the plant manager, you know, when I first saw him, first heard him talk, you know what, I'll admit, he had some good fancy words, sound like, you know, he was about business, you know, getting things done, seemed like, you know, all of us workers, the clerks, the mail handlers, and maintenance, everybody, it seems like, you know, we had somebody that, you know, really cared, but in the end, the only thing that's really been enforced, it's the standards toward the employees and not the employers. So they're holding us to the standard, but they're still allowing management to do as they please, especially when it comes to zero tolerance. You know, they allow them to harass, threaten, do whatever they please, put them in a hostile type environment. And we've sent so many pleas. We've tried to talk with them, you know, have meetings arranged and tell them about our problems, but it's like they just go and just spit in our face. And, we're getting sick and tired of that. Oh, go ahead.
And what they do, and again, not they, what our acting plant manager does is he gives you a lot of pizzazz. In other words, we've got labor management meetings per our contract. No, we're not going to have those, or we're not going to have meaningful contractual meetings. I'm going to introduce a whole new platform for you. But I tell you, folks, don't get sucked into that. That's just some horse and pony type nonsense, because if we have meetings and committees in effect already that the Postal Service pays very little attention to, why do you think they're going to pay attention to a brand new created committee? That's just to get your mind off of what's happening. As we say in the magic world, that's just an abracadabra, because the real magic trick is taking place somewhere else.
Yep.
We've got labor management committees. We got, again, your union, as ineffective as they are right now, meets with the postal management on labor matters. They pay that no attention. And again, I've been a part of these meetings. So when I say to you, all these new committees with the web photographer and all this other flashy stuff, that's just an abracadabra to get your mind off of what's really taking place. Hey, Al, we're getting ready to come to the end, so give me closing remarks this morning.
All right, man. Good talk with you.
Okay. Again, as we bring our podcast to a close, and again, I am going to try every Tuesday to make sure that I open up this line to a live postal podcast. And again, it's just my thoughts. It's just your thoughts. And on Hodge to Hodge on Block Talk Radio, your thoughts are welcome. Okay, we have to get together and pool our resources, as in we must stand for a common good. And that common good is right now no more than 100% compliance with our contract. And we're not going to be able to get that because our local president and our plant manager. But that doesn't mean we stop fighting, because later this year, a changing wind is going to come through local 304. That's going to be headed by 180 degrees new direction. Hey, glad you called in to the other callers. I got your message. You didn't want to say anything. You just wanted to listen. But every week we speak, more and more callers out of Columbus call in, get involved. Let's get our issues out there, and let's get the support of other mail handlers as we union up and bring about a better quality of work life in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, this is Kenny Hodge with the live postal podcast for this morning. Columbus, Ohio, Local 304, and postal employees everywhere. Let's have a great day.